Pastor stood up before his congregation and said, next week I'm going to preach a sermon on the sin of lying. And in order to prepare for that, I want everyone in the church to go home and read the 17th chapter of the book of Mark. I'll see you next week. He got to the time of the sermon and he stood up and he said, your assignment last week was to go home and read the 17th chapter of the book of Mark. He said, how many of you have done that? And almost every hand in the church shot up. He said, the only problem is there's only 16 chapters in the book of Mark. Now on to my sermon on the sin of lying. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul, the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. This comes from Eugene Peterson's translation called The Message. Paul says this, I can anticipate the response that is coming. I know all that God's commands are spiritual, but I am not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I am full of myself after all. I have spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is I decide one way, but then I act another. I do the things I absolutely despise. I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I can decide to do good, but then I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's become predictable. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Want to know why the Bible's true? Because if you don't nod your head and go, boy, I get that. Right? Does that describe you at all in any part? It describes me. I mean, I read that chapter, the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. And Romans, this is Apostle Paul, who wrote one half of the New Testament, who considered to be the superstar, superpower of the early church. And here he is, and he sounds just like me. Right? Can you resonate with those yearnings of his heart? I know what to do, but I just can't seem to do it. You ever have a day like that? I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to spend all day on Facebook anyway, right? I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm not supposed to do, but here I am. I'm doing it anyway. He says, something has gone wrong deep inside me, and it gets the best of me every time. You have a hurt or a hang-up or a habit where you have tried and tried and tried again, and you maybe have even had some success over it, then suddenly you're like, well, here we are again, right? Can you empathize with Paul? Do you know that feeling that every time you set out, that we set out to live our lives a little differently, we end up in the same place we started in? Got some habits that you have a hard time breaking, some hang-ups you can't get over, some hurts that continue to be stumbling blocks on your way to healing or to wholeness. If you can relate at all to that feeling, then you know something about the word of the day. For the word of the day is sin. I can see everybody out there. Great, I got out of bed for the sin sermon. That's right. Yeah, I could be watching, staying home watching Meet the Press this morning, and now here I am going to come get a sermon on sin. You know, sin, let's just be honest, that's one of those religious words that's just got a lot of baggage that comes with it. got a lot of guilt and shame. There's been too many preachers that are finger-pointer preachers when it comes to the issue of sin. But you know the reality of when you point one finger forward, you've got three pointing back at you. And too often the sin sermon has been about self-righteousness and not about God's righteousness. And here is Paul, the apostle of the church, who says, man, I got a sin problem. Right? Here's the guy who writes more about grace. The only thing he writes about as frequently as grace is sin. They go hand in hand. To understand the one is to understand the other. You know, that's why we're going to do this morning. This isn't a sermon about guilt. It's not a sermon about judgment. It's not a sermon to make you go home and feel bad about the kinds of things. It's to help us understand where we are in this journey, because this fundamental feeling that Paul talks about, there's something going on inside of me that I can't seem to get right, and it gets the better of me every time. You know, next to grace, Paul talked about sin. That's why I'm standing here behind this archery target here this morning, because the word sin in the Greek is that word right there. I can't say it. Hamararianto or something like that. Dick probably knows that word right off the bat, but that's the word. I did a little Google search on it and discovered that that word in the Greek lexicon actually was an archery word. It was a word that first and foremost wasn't a religious word. It was a word that came from the world of archery. And if you remember ancient Greece and Rome, games, public games of competition were a big deal. So what does that tell us? As long as men have been doing spiritual stuff, they've been using sports analogies to understand the gospel, right? So when I talk about the Packers, I am in full lineup with the biblical tradition. Or I'm just full of sin. I don't know which one it is. But this is the word that an archer would use when their arrow didn't quite hit the target. They would talk about it as being a hamaranto or a sin. It was missing the mark. It wasn't quite getting close enough. So here is Paul in the milieu of ancient Greece and Rome, taking a word, a term that everybody understood, especially those who were watching these sporting events going on. And he said, it's like that. This thing with these archers who try so hard, who dedicate their life to their task, and they try and try and try, and it doesn't matter how hard they try, they can't ever get the bullseye 100% of the time. You have some spots in your life, I know I do in mine, where the arrows are all over the place. Some arrows are a little closer to the center, some arrows are down here, some arrows are way over there because they missed the target all together. Paul says sin is that feeling in our lives that somewhere along the way we are missing the target. But there are places in our lives where we sometimes need to shoot again, to take aim and try one more time, to keep trying to hit the target. But Paul says, I keep trying and I keep not getting to the mark. So when we begin to talk about those places in our lives where we aren't quite hitting the mark yet, the arrows of our lives are close, but maybe not fully there, and some maybe not hitting there, I ask us today, where are we missing the mark? Where in your life do you resonate with what Paul is saying? Where do I need to take aim again? Where could I try to get a little closer? Where are those places in our lives? I put out on Facebook, like I do sometimes when I'm trying to get some help in thinking about sermons. You got, you know, 1,500 Facebook contacts, and you throw a question out there, and you wait to see what people ask. This week I said, help me wrap my head around this sin issue. What does that word mean to you? I got like I'm like, no one's going to touch this one with a 10-foot pole, right? I mean, I got like 50 responses to sin, right? I mean, I asked about love a week ago, and people are like, I asked about sin. They're like, I know about that. I understand that. I understand what's going on with that. One of the interesting things that I learned about that is sin, for those who are honest about it and are struggling about it, seems to come down to this sense of ego. My ego gets in the way. When I do what Paul says I do, when I do the things I don't want to do, it somehow I can't get my ego out of the way. So think about that word sin, S-I-N. What's in the middle? I. Right? I. Egocentric. When it becomes all about I. I is right in the middle of most of those areas where we have hurts or hang-ups or habits we can't get over. When it comes to sin, I is at the center. I am the center of the universe. I want what I want. I need what I need. I want things to happen the way I want things to happen. I'm going to handle this the way I am going to handle this. And when we talk about I, we get stuck in sin. I'll forgive them when I am ready. I will spend my money my way. I will do with my time what I want to do with my time. And so maybe it's that moving from egocentrism to theocentrism. From God, from me at the center to God at the center. What is it that God wants? What is it that God needs? Am I doing things the way God wants me to do things? It's moving from egocentrism, from I at the center to theocentrism, to God at the center. There's three things I want you to know about sin today. My buddies drove all the way from Portland to hear about sin. I'm really, he's like, man, can't you just do one on love or something? All right, first thing I want you to know about sin, and this is really important. We're all in this together. Paul makes it plain. He says, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in this, Paul, all means all. We're all in this together. Stick with that one for me for a minute there. Do me a favor and turn to somebody you're sitting next to and go, you are a sinner. All right, see, I want to say that you were really good at that. That came really easy. Try this one, no. Turn to somebody now and say, and I am too. And I am too. Right? See, the problem with sin talk, when the preacher gets up to talk about sin or when Christians get up to talk about sin, often we just go into that one part of it. You are a sinner. You need to fix this. It's not this, and I am too, and I am in this struggle with you. Paul makes it clear, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and all means all. It isn't just some. It's a problem all of us have. And so when we walk into this church this morning, there shouldn't be any surprise if any of us are carrying hang-ups, hurts, or habits that are getting in the way of being the what people God has called us to be. And the church ought to be the one place where you ought to be able to walk in, and that shouldn't surprise anybody. In fact, it ought to be the one place where you're welcome to do it. And yet I know, because I've grown up in the church, that often in church what we do is we take all those habits, those hang-ups, and those hurts, and we try to shove them in the trunk of the car out in the parking lot and try to leave them there. And we put on our shiny, happy Jesus face, and we walk in, and we want everyone to think that I've got it all together because we think everybody else has got it all together. And the church is the one club in this world, this one gathering in this place where the people walk through the door and they go, you're a sinner and I am too. Welcome home. I mean, that's what we should have welcomed our new visitors today. Welcome to a group of sinners. Come on in. We're going to put that on the front sign. Are you a sinner? Come on over to Aldersgate, because we all are, right? I mean, that's part of what we got to do if we're going to heal from our sin, is we just got to get real about it and come to places where we aren't afraid to talk about it. Because we're all in this together. I got hurts and hang-ups and habits, and so do you. Let's have a community and a place where we simply believe we are all in this together. We all have screwed up. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all got places where we're missing the mark. And we don't need to be afraid to talk about that and to bring that in and to find places of healing and transformation here in the life of the church. One of the most important ministries we offer is the healing place, one of our hidden ministries. But it's a place for counseling, for spiritual counseling, where people can go and talk about those things so they don't feel so burdened by them. The second thing we want to say about sin, though, while we laugh about it, sin is serious, right? I mean, Paul says the wages of sin is death, right? And we know that from our own experience, that our hurts and our hang-ups and our habits, man, they burden us down. They can literally kill, some of our habits and hang-ups can literally kill us physically, can kill us spiritually. Not only that, they can kill our marriages. Some of the things, if we don't deal with them, they can kill our finances. They can kill our relationships with our kids or with our parents or with our neighbors and certainly with our enemies. Sin is serious. As I thought about it this week, I know I don't talk about it very much. Probably because I'm afraid of how serious it actually is. And as your pastor and someone who cares about you, I want you to know that we want to provide a place where you can come and deal with and talk about the seriousness of these things that are weighing you down. For Paul says, our sin will ultimately kill us. Third thing that you need to know, though, in the light of that, and this is probably one of the real blocks as to why it kills us, and it goes back to that egocentrism. We believe, some of us believe, I know there's been times in my life I believe, that what I've done, not forgivable. The rest of you, sure, I get it, but not me. Mine's worse. I'm different. God isn't interested in forgiving me. I'm here today to tell you as your pastor, there is no sin, if you bring it to God, that God won't deal with. That God won't heal and transform. That God won't work in your life to help you take that next step so your shot gets a little closer. Hear what 1 John says about this. If you're going to memorize one scripture, memorize this one. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I don't find a loophole in that. I've looked for the loophole. I've looked for the yeah, but there is no yeah, but in there. So if you're sitting out there today and you've got a yeah, but for me, I'm just going to turn you back to 1 John. This isn't me that's saying this. This is the scripture that is saying this. There is no loophole. There is no sin that's unforgivable. Jesus one time said there was one sin that was unforgivable. Does anybody know what that is? Right, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the active power of God in this world, right? That's the power of God. That's the power of God that raises people from the dead. It's the Holy Spirit that heals us of body, mind, and soul. It's the fact that God is still active and alive in the world. And to blaspheme the active power of God in the world, to say, I don't believe in the active power of God in this world, Jesus said that's the only unforgivable sin. So essentially to say God can't forgive my sin is to say that God's power isn't active in this world anymore. And so if we don't believe God will forgive our sin, then perhaps it's the one sin that can't get forgiven because we have set up a block in order for that to happen. There is no unforgivable sin except believing that God can't forgive our sin. Because if we have that block, God can't, I don't know if God's God, I guess God can do whatever God wants, but maybe in God's love, God says, that's what you want, I'm going to give it to you. I don't know how all of that works, but I know that there is more to it than we know and we believe. So what is the solution? We go back to Paul, right? And Paul said, I got this thing going on inside me and it keeps tripping me up. How or who can help me? Well, it reminds me of this guy, actually, who went downstairs in his basement, and there on the basement wall was a crack. There was a crack in the wall. He says, I got a crack right there in my wall. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get in the Yellow Pages and I'm going to find the best painter in town. I'm going to have the painter come in and the painter's going to paint over that crack. He called the painter. The painter came in. He says, you see my crack? Can you fix that? The painter says, yes, I can. He painted the crack. He paid the painter. The painter was happy. The guy was happy. The guy went home. End of story, right? 2 months later, he came back downstairs and what was back on the wall? The crack. And this time, his aunt, uncle, and sister and brother crack showed up too. Right? There were more cracks on the wall. So he got the Yellow Pages out again, and what did he do? He called the best painter in town. He says, I thought you were the best painter in town. He says, I am the best painter in town. He says, well, come back over here and show me what happens. You see the cracks? I see the cracks. So the guy paints over the cracks one more time. Pays the painter. End of the story. Month later, he goes back downstairs. This time the whole community of cracks showed us up, right? The whole walls got cracks in the walls. And this time he calls, he says, I called that last dude. I got to call a new dude. He like Google searches for the best painter in America. He helicopters the best painter in. He comes down. He says, you see the crack? He says, I see the crack. He says, all God's children see the cracks in my walls. Who is going to fix the crack in my wall? And he says, it's not going to be me. He says, I don't get it. You're the best painter in America, right? You could paint over those cracks. He says, I could paint over those cracks. He says, the problem is, though, I'm going to come back in a month and those cracks are still going to be there. You don't have a painting problem. Your problem's in the foundation. You see, the foundation has shifted. And because the foundation has shifted, you still got cracks in your wall. And I could spend the rest of eternity painting over those cracks, and they're only going to show up until you get your foundation back where it's supposed to be. Hear what Paul says is the answer to our sin problem. Paul says this. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. It's by moving from egocentrism to Jesus-centrism, of putting our life back into relationship with God and learning what it is that God would have us do. God can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. In your bulletin today, you got a card. I've been your pastor long enough to know that some of you, most of us, maybe all of us, carry something around in our back pockets that weigh us down. And I want to give you a chance this morning to do something with that, if you like. The screen is, we're going to play some music here, and you can take that card, and if there's a burden, a sin, a hardship, a hurt, or a hang-up that you want to do something with today, that you want to leave here so that you can own it and start to say, God, I got to deal with this area of my life. I need to move from egocentrism to theocentrism. While that's playing, Jeff and Beth are going to come on up here and they're going to help you take those pieces and put them here on the target. And we'll pray as we leave here today that God will lead us out. Don't feel compelled to come up. I just know on a sermon about this, if I don't give you a chance to respond, it would be a shame. If it's too hard to get up front, just raise your hand. I'll carry it up. I won't read it. I won't go, this is what David Holman has to share today. I promise I'm not going to do that, okay? I'm not even going to look at it, okay? I'm just going to walk it up here and put it on the thing. Lord knows, I only got enough piece of paper for each of you to do one today. Lord knows if it were up to me, I could use a whole ream of paper to put those things that were on there for me. But I've just given you that chance. Ray Bolt's song called The Altar is going to play. The crumbs are going to come on up here. And they're just here to help you get those fastened on. Come as you feel led. And if you don't have something to bring forward today, just pray for your brothers and sisters who do. Come. Come as you feel led to do so. The altar is open, and it's here for prayer.